Welcome, all you liars, infidels, and fools. My name is Haley.
And my name's Brandy. And we are Easy Killer.
Easy Killer.
Easy Killer.
What's up, Easy Killer?
Welcome back.
Welcome back, you guys. We took a week hiatus to get some shit straight.
Yeah, because we're people and we have to do that sometimes.
We have a lot. We have a life outside of this, fucking killers, okay?
Believe it or not, we're not just some rich bitches that sit in their kitchen and search murder and record podcasts all day, every day, okay?
Yes, we would really love to do that.
I would love to. If anybody's willing to pay for me to do that, I would be open to that sort of proposition.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think anybody out there is wanting to be our sugar, our podcast sugar daddy.
We got to do this thing called life.
Right.
I'm really excited about this week because I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I know that
because I don't know what's going to happen.
I always like it better that way. And I love these. Haley's been busting her ass watching these Lifetime movies about true stories.
Watching these Lifetime movies.
About true stories and shit. And they're actual real stories. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure if you remember, if you've ever been in a Lifetime in the late 90s, early 2000s of shows that you would watch with your maybe grandmother. Mm-hmm. Me, yeah. It was my grandma. That's who it was in the early 90s.
That's where I started watching Unsolved Mysteries, was at my grandma's house.
Me too. My grandma loved Unsolved Mysteries and loved Lifetime. I swear to God. She loved it. And I just never, and now to this day, I still watch Unsolved Mysteries on Pluto.
Oh, I know. It's my favorite.
Yeah, me too. You've already seen them all.
Oh, probably. For sure. I have some on DVD.
Do you remember the one where the kid was like sitting like in his den and he had like those patio doors and he looked out and there was like a man in a car staring at him? And I don't know why that scared me to death as a kid.
I don't know.
But he would like, the guy just stayed staring at him and that kid took off running and made it seem like his parents was home. And yeah. I don't know what happened because I can't remember, but I don't know why.
I was going to say, did he end up getting murdered or something?
I don't know. It freaked me out so bad as a kid.
I
just remember that being
that
scary.
I remember like very vague specifics of either a case or like a movie.
Yeah, that's how I am.
And I'm like, I kill myself trying to figure out what it is. And that's one of the murders we're going to talk about tonight is one of those things, because I thought about it the other last week when we were talking about the death of a cheerleader,
yep.
Whatever, that Lifetime movie we were talking about. And there was this Lifetime movie. I'll go ahead and just, we'll just segue on into the first one I'm going to talk about. But the first one this one that I was thinking of, it came to me at like a random time during the day. And I remember specifics, like this and that. And then so I get on Google and I'm Googling like Lifetime movie where this happens and this happens, and like it literally took me like 3 hours and
did you
finally fucking found it. And I'll never forget it now. Anyways, that movie is Deadly Vows.
Oh shit. See, when you started, I would what I would do is I would always go to Google also and do the same thing. But when you know, you ever see movies and it just, in some time in life you're going through life and you remember that movie,
yeah,
and you just remember how you felt when you watched that movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it was with Killer Among Friends.
Yeah,
I literally remember that movie my whole life from the time that I've watched the very first time. I just remember crying so hard watching it. Mm-hmm. Thinking, damn, if I wish things were different, or I wish it turned out different for her, you know what I'm saying? Thinking really that Kelly Kapowski was the fucking person.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, she was based. The character was based on a real person.
Yeah.
So which one do you want to talk about? That one first? Or do you want to talk about Deadly Vows?
Let's talk about the Kelly Kapowski, and then we'll do...
So, yeah, the Killer Among Friends. That was a true story. And I found when I was researching a lot of these movies, a lot of these movies actually originally aired on like CBS or like ABC or NBC. Like they were like like the cable show.
Yeah.
Whatever. And then they were later re-aired on Lifetime. So they actually weren't Lifetime movies.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that until recently. But A Killer Among Friends was like one of like the number one like watched TV movie from that year.
Oh, yeah. Because that movie put something inside me to make me that in my heart that I was like, don't trust a bitch. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Right. Yeah. That movie always in the back of my head. Like, even when I was in iffy situations as a teenager, I would go back to that movie and think, oh, this is some, this is, and I don't I need to. I feel
like the murder scene in that movie is really like.
They didn't give a fuck, did they? Yeah.
No.
They made it feel like you had that empathy.
I felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And usually I don't feel uncomfortable when I'm watching.
I remember just being a kid and being so angry, mad, like, why would her friends do her like that, or why would that bitch be such a bitch, or why would that bitch kind of like it kind of reminds me of the Shanda Shear.
It gives me a fucking very
Shanda Shear-ish, and if you don't know who Shanda Shear is, Shanda Shear was a 12-year-old girl who was murdered by four people that she wasn't really friends with, so they try to, you know, but she went to school and she dated a girl.
They were friends of friends, basically.
Yeah, they lured her out of her house, took her to this place, beat her, stabbed her. Basically beat her, stabbed her, sodomized her with the tire all night long. Look it up, Shanda Shear. It's crazy that a lot of people don't know about this case, but that was my first true crime case ever. Yeah. The Cruel Intentions was the first book I ever read.
My mom told me about that.
Yeah.
When I was like probably 9 or so years old, she was like, don't trust these bitches.
Yeah. Don't. Will they be your friends if this happens?
It's also similar to that Skylar Neese case. You know who that is?
Yeah, I know
who
Skylar Neese is. Wasn't it you to tell me about Big Brother, how she's on there?
Oh, no.
That somebody she knows?
It wasn't Big Brother. It was, what was it? It was Are You the One?
Mm.
And one of the girls that killed Skylar Neese, her cousin was on Are You the One.
Who brags about that? Yeah, my cousin's MTV. In penitentiary well, for she, killing
she,
somebody.
Yeah, that's what she said. She said, oh, yeah, this tattoo's for my cousin, and she's in prison for murdering her best friend. And then I was like, who the fuck is this bitch? So I Google her, and I find out it's one of the girls, Sheila, I don't remember what her last name was, Sheila something. But it was her cousin. And that girl actually ended up dying. That girl's dead now, too, from like a overdose.
Which one? The one that was on
Are You the One.
Oh, well, that's not shocking. Her bragging about her cousin. I mean, it just kind of puts...
Yeah, I'm going to get a tattoo for my cousin who murdered her best friend. Like, okay.
Right. It's weird. I don't get it. Y'all know Saved by the Bell, Kelly on there. She played in this movie probably back in her prime because she was beautiful.
Oh, my gosh. She was.
So beautiful.
I would have killed her, too. No, I'm just kidding.
I wish I looked like her as a guy.
Okay, bitch. No, for
I'm telling you, she was fucking beautiful back then.
No, she was.
And she played in this movie called A Killer Among Friends, and now we found out it's a true story. So Haley here is going to tell us a story about A Killer Among Friends, the movie, and what it's really about and who it's really about and just how true story it is.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty true, but her name was not Kelly Kapowski. It was Michelle Avila.
Oh, yeah.
And this happened in 1985 in around like the Los Angeles area. I guess she went to San Fernando High School. She had two friends that she had been friends with since they were like little kids. Pretty much. One of the names were, the one girl was Karen Severson and then Laura Doyle. And she went by Missy. Her name was Michelle, but her friends called her Missy. And, she was a pretty girl. She had long brown hair. You want to see a picture of her?
Yes, I do. Oh, so pretty.
So, these fucking bitches that she was friends with, Karen Severson and Laura Doyle, they were obviously, as in the movie, you can tell her friends are jealous of her because she's hot and they're not.
Right.
Pretty much. So, there's like rumors swirling around that Michelle is sleeping with Karen's boyfriend, things like that. Like, there was a lot of rumors going on, and I don't know if they were actually true rumors or if they were just stuff that people made up because that's what people do in high school, and everybody was jealous of her because she was cuter than them. Hmm. So, hold on. So after there was like this guy that Karen was dating that Michelle had dated previously.
Yeah.
And there was an instance where it played out in the movie where she's over at her friend's house, and then her friend tells her to go into the kitchen to get something, and her friend's boyfriend's there, and he like pulls her onto his lap and starts making out with her because they had dated before.
Right.
That really happened. So it was an instance like that where she was there, her ex-boyfriend, who was the new boyfriend of her friend, pulled her onto her lap and tried to start kissing her. And so she came out and they got into a physical altercation like outside, and apparently Karen Severson had tried to she broke a beer bottle and was like threatening Michelle with it, and they had like, you know, push, slap, fight type of thing, like just like a cat fight, I guess.
Yeah.
Except for the broken beer bottle, that was a little extreme. But that might have been a precursor to what was about to happen. Cause your bitch was crazy. So this is around, you know, fall of 1985. Laura Doyle had called Michelle's mom, and she had asked to talk to her daughter, and I don't know, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself, that's not what happened. So Laura Doyle had picked up Michelle on October 2nd, 1985, and they were supposed to like hang out, go shopping, you know, whatever. So 4 hours after that happened, like, because Michelle's mom saw her leave with Laura. She's with Laura.
I remember seeing that.
And that's kind of what happened in the movie. Laura calls her mom, and she's like, hey, can I talk to Missy? And then her mom's like, well, I thought she was with you. And she said no, that she had dropped her off with like three guys that were driving a blue Camaro. And she said that she had dropped her off because she was talking to one of the guys. She went to get gas. She came back. The blue Camaro was gone. All the guys were gone. And Michelle was gone. So if you remember in the movie, it wasn't the same type of car, but there was a car that they kept talking about, the two girls that had murdered her. And they kept talking about, you need to tell them that it was this car that you saw and these guys. So the police are going around looking for this car that doesn't fucking exist.
Right.
Because the two girls just said that to throw them off.
Right.
So.
Shoddy police work.
Right. Well, pretty much. I mean, so 2 days later, a hiker found her body, and she was face down in a stream with a 100-pound
rock on her
log on her back, which is exactly how it happened in the movie.
Right. I remember that movie. It shook me the fuck up.
As we see in the movie, they take her and they start like hitting her and like, you know, slapping her in the face and like pushing
taking
her down.
Her hair,
they cut her hair off because they were jealous. Yeah. So they were like, oh, how hot are you going to be without your hair now? You know, because they're little fucking cunts.
Right.
That don't know how to deal with people who are prettier than them. And she had been drowned in eight inches of water, which is exactly what happened in the movie.
Right.
Because they pulled her out into the water and they literally held her head down in eight inches of water. Until she died, and then they put the log over her back to keep her there. Fucking bitches,
God
dude.
God damn, dude. People you think could... Didn't they grow up together and everything?
Yes!
Oh,
like,
my God.
Like, her mom had... Like, Michelle's mom had, like, taught the two girls how to fucking swim when they were kids. It was like a... You've ever seen the movie Now and Then?
Yeah.
Where they're, like... They were friends when they were kids. And then, yeah, it's like that. It was like they were like childhood best friends. So after that happened, they were, you know, looking for the blue Camaro that didn't fucking exist. And Karen, who was like the ringleader, in my opinion, in the whole thing, she decided that she wanted to move in with Michelle's mother. like that's fucking like crazy. She did in the movie, because she wanted to wanted to be Michelle, but also wanted to keep tabs on every little bit of the investigation. And in the movie, like, you see she is constantly trying to comfort and console the mom, and she's just talking to like the police. She's like, you all don't bother her with this. And, you know, like, she seems very protective of her. But it's not that she's protective. It's that she's trying to keep suspicion off of herself.
Right. And if I was a cop, she would have been the first person I'd go for.
Yeah. Well, eventually they did. They got her friend. They got the other girl to talk before they got her to talk. So when I said the other girl talked, it wasn't Laura who talked. There was a third girl.
Yeah, I remember that.
Was there. Like I said, I'm pretty sure the movie and the actual crime was very similar and very on point as to what happened. So there was another girl, and she had not participated in the murder, but she was there
and seen it.
She saw everything happen, and she like ran away.
Wasn't she crying a lot in the car? Yeah, like freaking out, like she didn't know what to do, and she was so scared of them too.
Yeah, and then like later she had said something to Karen about you know, maybe going to the police and talking, and then Karen like threatened her
with a knife.
Yeah,
I remember that in the movie.
She'd kill her if she did it, if she said anything. So that girl finally, after the case had like went cold, basically, it was like 3-4 years ago, or 3-4 years after the murder, that girl who had been there, she came in and told investigators what had happened.
3 years?
Yes.
God damn.
Because this was this happened in 1985, and she didn't confess. Well, she didn't really confess because she didn't do anything. But, I mean, she didn't go to the police with the information until 1988.
Yeah.
So, they were both put on trial, obviously, and they were both convicted of second-degree murder.
Even the girl
that... Bullshit, no. Not the one that told them what happened. Because she didn't do anything. She was just... Right. She wasn't even an accomplice. She didn't know what was going to happen.
Right. She didn't know none of it.
She didn't... She just was kind of there, saw what happened, and kept her mouth shut because she was scared. And then she eventually, I guess, guilt ate her alive, and she had to do something. But, like, the fucked up part is that they were convicted on second-degree murder because the jury said that they could not prove that the murder was planned. Right. And I'm like...
Really?
I guess I could see where it wasn't planned. By the facts, but I just don't understand how you go from like being friends with somebody to like cutting their hair off and drowning them in 8 inches of water. Like, where did she go wrong?
Fuck it, man.
Yeah, so they barely did any time. Let's see. Karen was sentenced to 15 years to life, but she, and this was in 1990 when they were on trial. So she served 21 years.
Good.
23 and a half, my bad, actually. So she got out in December of 2011, and then Laura Doyle got out in December of 2012.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, I know that that's, I guess, like the statute of limitations on murder, second degree murder.
I feel like they should have
so
life.
Fucked up.
Like, how do you murder your friend
and do 20 years and then you're just out?
Like, she let, like, when that, didn't the girl that killed her have a daughter too? Well, didn't she have kids in the movie? She had kids.
Oh, see, that I was never able to confirm. Yeah. I don't know if that was true or if that was just added for like dramatic effect.
Well, if you ever get a chance, y'all need to check out that movie Killer Among Friends. Just Google it, it'll pop up. It's got Tiffany Amber Thiessen in it, and that's her real name. We call her Kelly Kapowski because she was fucking on Saved by the Bell.
And now, apparently Mrs. Karen Severson is an anti-bullying advocate.
After she murdered her best friend.
Yes, bitch. There is like a 45-minute interview that this YouTube channel did with her, and it was her basically, like, she talked about the murder a little bit.
I'm shocked.
But, like, she was so, like, disassociated from the whole situation because she kept calling Michelle. She wouldn't call Michelle Michelle. She called her the victim. And that's what people do when they want to disassociate from what they did, is they don't identify the person that it happened.
She's still crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
She literally lived with her family.
Yeah.
Right after.
Yeah.
Probably for 3 years.
And tried to, like, wear her clothes and shit.
Yeah. And then fuck her. God damn, that bitch is fucking crazy.
Yeah. So, if you get interested later, you could go find that interview on YouTube.
Yep.
Try to find it and send it to you. It's actually pretty. Yeah, it's kind of annoying to watch because the entire time
she gets on my nerves. Yeah. You're like, bitch, I'm gonna fucking kill you.
Why are you talking about bullying?
When you literally murdered somebody.
You bullied somebody to death. You
literally. Fucking bully murdered. That's fucked up.
I don't know what ever happened to Laura Doyle.
She probably was just a follower of hers.
And that Karen chick, she was also on Dr. Phil. And I wasn't able to find the entire full interview for that because I looked for it. But I wasn't able to find that one. So.
Yeah.
These are the Lifetime...
I love Lifetime.
90s movies that keep us up at night.
Exactly.
And we're going to move on to another one. Deadly Vows, that I talked about earlier, but we didn't get into yet. You know who Peggy Lipton is?
Yes, I think so.
Do you know who Rashida Jones is?
Why does that name sound familiar?
She was on Parks and Rec.
She's
on The Office for a little bit. She's like, she's mixed, but she doesn't look mixed. If that makes sense.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Like, yeah, she's really, Stevie. Really... She's, what's his name?
Quincy Jones.
Quincy Jones's daughter.
And Peggy Lipton. Yeah. Peggy Lipton's her mom.
Okay.
Peggy Lipton played the wife in this movie that we're talking about. And I never noticed how much she looks like her mother, but she looks just, like her. But yeah, so this movie, Deadly Vows, came out in, I want to say it was like 94. Yeah, it was 94. And this was the one that I was like, could not remember what it was called or who it was based off of. And it took me like 3 hours to figure it out. So this movie, well, not the movie necessarily. I guess we'll just talk about what actually happened and then we'll talk about the movie afterwards. And okay, before I tell you this. I'm gonna describe this specific scene, and this was the specific specific scene that stood out to me that helped me Google and figured out what it was. So think you might have seen it if you know it. Okay.
Deadly Vows.
They're at a 4th of July like party, barbecue, whatever. Okay.
Okay.
And there's fireworks going off, and there's this like, I say old man. He's probably not that old. He's middle-aged man, let's say 40s, 50s, something like that.
Yeah.
So he's laying there on like this blanket, and on one side of him is his wife of like 20 years.
Yeah.
It was played by Peggy Lipton.
Okay.
And they were laying down. Okay. So she was on this side of him, and then there was another girl on the other side of him who was like 19 or 20 years old, and she was like his mistress. And she was laying next to them on this blanket while they were watching the fireworks. And he was literally, like, filling up his wife and her at the same time. Does that stand out to you at all?
No.
No? Okay.
I probably didn't see it.
Okay. Well, it's a very creepy movie.
Really?
Because the dude is, like, just super...
gross?
Yes. Like, predatory.
Ew, I hate this.
Like, almost like grooming. Like, this, the girl that he was, like, you know, grooming was an adult, but she was a very young adult.
Right.
And...
yeah.
Whatever. So, basically, the real story that happened behind this, the lady's name was Tammy Petrin, and she was 20 years old, and she married this guy named Ronald Harnois.
Harnois. What kind of name is that?
Ronald Harnois.
Harnois.
Here's the kicker. Ronald Harnois was already married.
Oh, really?
To Joanne Harnois.
Oh, shit. Where were they from? 20
years, a.k.a. Peggy Lipton.
Ah.
So he marries this girl while he's, you know, his marriage is on the rocks with his wife, but he's not divorcing her. And he has kids, there's kids involved, whatever. So he decides that he wants to get married to this
Tammy Petrin that he meets.
Mm.
So he creates this, like, fake brother. And says he has his fake twin brother. And he uses his fake twin brother's name to get married so that he was able to get married. And because you're not allowed to get married to two people.
Yeah. Like, that's illegal.
Yeah. You can't do that. So
what do they call that?
Bigamy.
Yeah. Because it's illegal. It's legal in Utah. Or yes, it used to be.
Utah. I think it is. I think it's
because of.
Or I don't know if it's legal or it might not be legal, but it's
very acceptable.
Because it's a very, very big Mormon population. And, like, Sister Wives, have you ever watched Sister Wives?
Yeah.
Well, basically, he's only really married to one of them. And the other three are just, like, they call themselves married. They say we're husband and wife. They have the ceremonies, but they're not actually getting married because they can't.
Right.
So, I don't think it's technically legal there. I think it maybe is just more accepted, maybe. I don't know. But, so he did this, and so once he gets married to her, she has no idea. Tammy Petrin has no clue that Ronald Harnois is married.
Ah.
Or else she wouldn't have married him.
Right.
So, she finds out that he's married, and he basically just kind of talks his way out of it. And is like, I don't love her. I love you.
Yeah, what they always say.
I want to be with you.
Men are full of shit.
She doesn't have what I want. You know?
Yeah. I know.
Yep, I know.
They, just a little tidbit in here. If a man's married and he tells you she's this and she's that, 9 times out of 10, she's probably just not gave a fuck about his ass because he's probably a whore.
Yeah.
And she's probably just done dealing with it. And they probably got fucking a family, so she's probably not even trying to fucking leave him. He's not going to leave her unless she leaves him. And honey, 9 times out of 10, she wakes up eventually and leaves him, and then he ends up dying alone. You motherfuckers need to stay away from men like that. Well, and they're Ronald. Out here. Ronald. Motherfucking ass.
You know what Ronald
sounds
did?
Like a narcissist. You think he was narcissistic, Ronald?
Oh, probably.
Really?
I mean, I don't really... I never... There was no interviews I could watch of him, so I didn't really know much about, like, his... But just hearing the shit that
he says and does. Yeah, you could tell a narcissist. Yeah, you can peg a narcissist.
He was very predatory.
Yeah.
He preyed on Tammy Petrin.
Mm.
Even though she was of age and she was legally able to make her own decisions.
I get what you're saying.
You can tell in the movie. Like I said, that's why the movie is so gross. Ew. If you have Amazon Prime, you should watch it because it's on Amazon
What's
Prime.
What's it called?
Deadly Vows.
Deadly Vows.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it tonight.
So, yeah, it's very just, it makes you kind of sick to your stomach because you're like, this guy's not even fucking cute. He looks like fucking Gary Gitchell.
Oh, God. Who the fuck is that?
Gary Gitchell was the lead investigator or the lead detective on the West Memphis 3 case.
Oh, my God. I don't even have an idea what that looks like, but I'm pretty sure it's not going to be attractive.
Let me show you what Gary Gitchell looks like.
Gary Gitchell.
Fuck you, Gary
Gitchell. In tonight, Gary Gitchell.
He was so sure of himself, too.
Yeah, he really, really thought that they was the killers, huh? Yeah,
that's him. That's old Gary Gitchell.
Oh, God. I remember Gary. Fuck Gary. I can't stand that ugly motherfucker.
I swear, though, the guy that plays the Ronald Harnois in this movie looks...
He looks like a names, fucking though. Ronald Harnois.
I know. They Piece changed the name. Shit. His name in the movie was Tom Weston.
Hmm.
Because they always got to change the names.
Why does that name sound familiar?
Tom Weston?
Yeah.
I don't know a Tom Weston. Ronald, who should obviously divorce one of these women, instead of divorcing, he doesn't want to go through a messy divorce. So guess what he wants to do? He
Murder.
Wants to kill his ex, or his first wife, not his ex-wife, because they're still married.
Damn.
So wife 1A and wife 1B, we'll call them. So wife 1A is about to get fried. Well, she's... Maybe. So what he does is he takes 6 different pipe bombs. Okay.
Oh my God.
And he straps them to her car.
What the fuck?
And they go off. But she doesn't die. She comes out completely unharmed.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
You mean she's Superman?
Yes.
That's fucking hilarious.
I know.
Oh, I bet you he was pissed. Like,
yes,
are you fucking kidding me right now? What am I going to have to do to kill this bitch?
Yeah, so.
Oh my God. That's fucking hilarious.
Tammy had known about it.
Oh, yeah. She
needs
to go to jail.
She had apparently not necessarily, she wasn't an accessory. Maybe she was. I'm not 100%
I feel like if she knew about
her,
it.
On her knowledge of, she knew enough to maybe to where she could have stopped it had she really wanted to. So, the police, pretty quickly they catch on to the fact that it's her husband and his new wife. Basically, once they found out that it was Ronald, they go to Tammy and they're like, Tammy, you got to tell us everything you know. All right. Because they're offering to let her off easy if she.
So she don't.
Testifies against him. So all this time, Ronald's like, oh, no, Tammy's not going to testify against me. She's not going to testify against me. But then he actually finds out that she is going to testify against him. So, Tammy had cooperated with the police. She told them what she knew, and she was charged with conspiracy to commit murder, but she was released on a $10,000 bail.
Damn.
So, basically, she had, like, walked away off of, you know, a bond, but he still had to stand trial, and she was going to, Tammy was going to testify against him, and he didn't, you know. I don't know what's going with that. Anyway, so fast forward to this is like 1991. I think it was like 1990-ish.
So old girl didn't die
when he tried to kill his wife. Yeah, she didn't
die.
The first one didn't die. She was alive to tell the tale. She testified.
That's so awesome. The second one probably died, didn't she? R.I.P.
So Ronald is in jail or prison, whatever, awaiting his trial, and his gears are turning, and he's like, how can I fucking fix this shit?
So he tries to.
So he's like, well, if Tammy's dead, then she can't testify against me, and then the state will just let me go.
He's a dumbass.
As if that ever fucking happened.
Like, I mean, honestly, you're going to think, well, looks like he fucking killed her, too.
I mean,
now did he get arrested after the first time? Is that why he was?
Yeah,
in
that's
trial?
Why he was. Okay. That's why he was in prison at the time. So while he was in prison,
he thought by killing his second wife
that was going to testify against him trying to kill his first wife that he would get off of the murder charge or the attempted murder charges.
So Tammy, the one that the new puss basically is the one he was trying to kill.
Yes.
And then his first wife, the one that you know,
he
the
also
first wife,
tried to kill
that he also tried to kill, bomb. But she lived because he's like the worst assassin ever.
Right.
Like what the fuck?
Yeah. So he tries to solicit his adult daughter and her boyfriend.
What
from his first marriage.
Fuck?
So he was like, hey, Sally, you know I tried to kill your mom with that pipe bomb a few years ago? Well, now my new wife is going to testify against me, and I'm going to get put in prison. So now I want you to help me kill my second wife. Sound good? She was like, Dad, fuck yourself. No, I'm not doing that.
I'd have called the police on his ass right there.
Yeah, so I don't know if she told anybody or not. But he turned to a fellow inmate and was like, "Hey, I'll give you $5,000. You make her disappear. Everything's fine." And they had discussed, like, they had planned the details. They had discussed the payment and everything.
Do you mean the mistress that knew about the other murders about to get got? Is that what you're trying to tell me right now?
Maybe.
Ooh.
Maybe. So the guy that he had originally tried to get to do it was released from prison, like, unexpectedly.
Oh,
like,
shit.
One day they were just like, you're out of here.
Damn.
You know, get to getting. So he got out, so then that plan never followed through. That never happened.
Oh, shit.
So then he finds another inmate named Steve Wilson, and he offers him $2,500. I don't know why he offered the first guy $5,000 and him, but he offered him $2,500, a car, and an apartment to live.
Did he have money like this? He had money?
I mean, I guess he had enough money to
murder somebody.
To try and get him off of his murder trial, you know.
He went cheap on that. If he would have paid more, they probably would have kept the fucking mouth shut.
Right.
Here's $2,500 in a car.
And a pre-owned Lincoln. Thank you.
Here's this fucking Navigator.
Yeah.
You remember Navigators, Lincoln Navigators?
Yeah, I do. So, Steve Wilson was like, all right, bet. I will kill that bitch for you.
Basically, I'm gonna murder that motherfucker.
Yeah, so Tammy goes to work. She works at Burger King. And she goes into work, and she's like an opener. Her and this other guy are opening the store together. So somebody comes in, shoots them both, execution style. They weren't supposed to shoot the other guy, but the other guy, I guess he just got,
happened to be there. That's my biggest fear, getting murdered.
Happy and was just like, oh, I guess you got it too.
Wrong that's place, always been my time. Biggest fear, that I'd be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Motherfucker trying to get got for some shit that they did, and I'm over just minding my business. Didn't do nothing to nobody, and I get caught, you know?
It happens.
That's my biggest fear.
It happened to this guy.
Well, not my biggest. Actually, going into the water in a car is my
going
biggest.
Going into the water in a car.
Going into any body of water in a car is my biggest fear, but that would probably have to come in second, because why not?
Oh, and how about that fucking story? I know we're getting, like, totally off track right here.
Okay.
That story I sent you? That YouTuber that found that car?
Yeah, under the water? Yeah, we'll get into that after this.
That was insane, yeah.
So, she gets murdered.
She gets shot. She was, when the police arrived, she's still alive.
Oh, shit. Man, damn.
She's still alive.
She could have made it. So, damn, could you imagine if she lived too? How fucking shitty
right.
is
well,
that dude?
When she got to the hospital, she died. She died.
Damn.
And at first they didn't suspect Ronald because he was in jail, prison. So they were like, it couldn't have been him. He was in prison. How can you kill somebody if you're in prison?
I would go straight to him. So, that'd be who exactly I pick.
So he ended up being sentenced to 20 years in prison for the attempted murder of his first wife.
Yeah.
He was then sentenced to life without parole
in
2000. Because this murder happened in fucking 1991, and he didn't get sentenced until 2000.
Good God.
And he was sentenced
to justice system at its work.
Life without parole. And the Steve Wilson, the gunman, the guy that actually shot the people, he died before he was able to go on trial.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
That's what they do. They slow roll those people, but fucking get caught with a joint and you're in prison for the rest of your fucking life. Right. America.
America.
I blame you, America.
Yeah, so that was Deadly Vows.
I dig it. I like it. I'm all for it.
Oh, and in the movie, which, like I said, I don't know if this actually happened. I couldn't find anything to corroborate that it did happen. But in the movie, it was really interesting because he was like Ronald was like really like laxed about bringing his second wife around his first wife. In the movie, there was this whole backstory. One day she comes home from work, and him and the girl are in the kitchen.
The one he murders,
together.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're cooking. And she's like, who the fuck is this bitch? Why are you bringing some bitch into my house?
Right.
You know? And so
I'm swinging on whoever.
So then he, like, fucking, like, goes the fuck off on her. And he's like, she's engaged to my friend Ben, and you owe her an apology. Because something, he called her my fucking bitch of a wife or something like that.
Oh, and my motherfucking God. You know, I might say a billion times I would have left, but I've been in relationships where I was fucking manipulated, so I can't say two shits, but if some motherfucker has another girl up in there, you can be that in love that you act like that you're that manipulated, and you're like, well, maybe he's telling the truth, because...
Well, she believed him.
Yeah. I believe that she believed him, because I've been that person before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe
it. Well, like I said, I don't know if this has actually happened, so... then she like has, or then he has his new wife come over and like take his first wife out shopping.
What the fuck? Nah, bitch.
And then while she's running inside to get her purse, he's like grabbing her on the ass. The movie's fucked up. You gotta watch it, man.
Man, I'm probably going to watch it too. I would have that feeling, this motherfucker's fucking this bitch. I'm going to kill her. Either I'm going to kill her or he's going to kill somebody.
He's going to kill her. Right. He's going to try to kill me first. Right.
And then you live. Can you imagine being the wife in that scenario?
I know.
Like, you done took your soul, yourself out and that fucking bitch. It's a wonder that the wife didn't get questioned about the murder of old girl. Because, oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm sure they did.
Like, she came out with no scratches or nothing when the bombs went off. She's fucking Batman, dog.
I mean, I don't think the bombs went off the way they were supposed to go off. I think that was, like, the issue.
Because
he's kind of retarded and didn't... I don't know
fucking
if they were,
do
I think
it
they
properly.
Were like homemade bomb. I don't know if they're homemade bombs or what. But his plan did not go as planned, basically.
Yeah. Men are stupid. I just figured that out.
Yeah.
They tend to do dumb shit.
You just figured
okay?
that out.
I mean, no, I've always known it. Like, I don't understand how men... I mean, you know, if you notice, their dick gets them more in trouble than anything in this world.
Yeah. And their ego.
And their ego. Yeah. But women can have egos too, I guess. But goddamn, men just have this... Think that the world owes them everything and that women should be this... Basically fucking nothing to them. Why do men act more superior to women? I've never got that.
Because biologically, they are.
Yeah.
But that is just how the way the world works.
There's always somebody top at the higher food chain.
Yeah,
is that
it doesn't
how you
necessarily
say?
Mean that they are better, but like they see that they are
Look, I'm all for men.
Physically, so they're like, look at me and my fucking
right.
dick and balls.
I'm all for men, like good men that don't act like that.
Yeah.
But those motherfuckers that do act like the world revolves around them and that they have say-so and they can judge a woman on the on what she does,
mm-hmm.
those kind of men just are disgusting to me.
Yeah.
The men that don't fucking talk that much or don't talk about brag that much, those are the kind of men that are good men. You know what I'm talking about? Because I feel like if you got to talk about shit, then you're not really about shit.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Every man I've met that's ran their mouth before I've got to know them or talked. They
you mean ran their mouth to you?
Ran their mouth to me about how they're good at something. They're better than anything. You know, right then and there, I know.
Yeah.
Well, you probably got a small dick.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Because they're making up for something. If they have to bash a woman in front of me, automatically, I already assume they got a small dick.
Mm-hmm.
That's just where I'm going to go with it. If they got to bash a woman or treat a woman badly, or if they have multiple wives, like this motherfucker, he had to have a small dick to make up for it. And these fucking kind of men that kill their goddamn wives and fucking act like... I just think it's funny.
Both
karma.
Of them. He tried to kill both of them, man. I mean, he did. Well,
he got one. Know. The fucking first wife was like, you got me fucked up. Karma had already did her dirty anyway.
I know.
So karma, like, saved her ass.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
I know. But honestly, though, the real... I keep wanting to call him Richard for some reason. Maybe
right.
He's a dick.
Right.
But,
I know what
Ronald,
dude named Richard.
Ronald Harnois.
Harnois.
The real Ronald Harnois is actually a lot... gross, nastier looking than the guy who
I'm pretty sure
in the movie, the Gary Gitchell look like. I'll show you what he actually looks like.
I'm scared to see what he looks like.
Scared.
Honestly.
Let me see. What was that guy's name? Ronald Harnois. Yeah.
Ronald Harnois.
This is the only picture I've ever seen of him.
Dum 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 dum. That's my intro music to me, to her about to show me a picture of his ugly ass dude. Oh my god! What the fuck? Harnels. That's what his last name looks like. Harnois.
Harnois, but it's pronounced Harnois.
Damn. He is ugly as fuck.
Yeah, I don't see how he got two wives.
What's the next one about?
All right, you've probably seen this one. I'm sure you've had to have seen this one. No One Would Tell.
No.
with Candace Cameron Bure or whatever her fucking name is.
Burgess.
From DJ from Full House. And Fred Savage, which is what's his name from The Wonder Years.
Let me set the scene. Or you set the scene and I'll let you know if I've seen it.
Okay, so it was a domestic violence situation. Mm-hmm. We'll just say that. Trigger warning.
Trigger warning. If you've had your heads knocked upside a wall.
This was like a really, like really young domestic violence case.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Like the very beginning?
The victim was very young.
Oh, okay.
Basically. So the movie No One Would Tell came out in the 90s. It's about this guy who starts dating this girl. Fred Savage starts dating DJ Tanner.
Yeah.
And they, you know, whatever, hit it off. He's a wrestler. And then over time, he gets more aggressive and possessive.
Because he love-bombed her in the beginning.
Yeah, of course he did.
I'm going to give you ladies a little tip. If somebody is coming on to you very strong and it's only been like a couple weeks, that is called being love-bombed. And I've said this in many episodes. But if you're being love-bombed, there's 9 times out of 10, don't think, oh my God, this one has really came along. No, he hasn't. He's love bombing you. He's just manipulating you to make you think he's the man for you. And continue with the story. Because I feel like Fred Savage was a fucking dick in this.
Oh, he was. It was horrible. But before I say that, I don't think that she listens to this, but I want to give my friend from high school a shout out, Chelsea Fentress.
Yeah,
because
Chelsea.
When me and her were in high school, we used to watch this movie all the time.
Really?
And it was like our favorite fucking movie. And we would like make fun of it. And like, I can't even explain exactly what, but we would just like, we would act like, because the guy's name was Bobby in the movie. Yeah. And like, we would like, he would make like this really weird face, like.
When he got mad?
Yeah, when he would get mad, like.
Domestic violence isn't funny. We're laughing at the situation. Not domestic violence. I want to let that be known. I'm a yes. I'm a domestic violence victim, so I would not laugh at something unless I'm telling you the story about this. The Lifetime movies, y'all should know how funny they are.
Yeah, they're just very cheesy and over the top. So we would always like, we would like look at each other in class and make like the Bobby look. I don't know, but so I just wanted to give a shout out to my bitch Chelsea Fentress, because.
Hey, bitch, Chelsea.
Yeah, so the true story behind all of this happened in a town called Beverly, Massachusetts, which is a little north of Salem, Massachusetts. And I don't know what it is about murders that happened in the 1990s, but they're lit.
They are, AF. Pretty much.
So this is what happened in 1991. A young couple, Amy Carnavale, I think that's how you say it. She was 14.
What?
She was 14 years old. Okay.
Damn, they
her boyfriend, young. Jamie Fuller, was 16 years old.
So he could start beating that ass young. I had to put some little humor into it. I've been beat before. It's not funny, but I have to.
I'm sorry, but that was good. That was great.
I mean, for real, that's really fucking young to be in a domestic violence situation there.
I know. That's what I thought was crazy. He was 2 years older than her. And I guess, I was talking to a guy that was like 20, 21 when I was like 15. And I didn't think it was weird. But looking back on it now, it was fucking weird. But like when you're young like that and you're like 14 years old, you don't think that dating somebody 2 years older than you is.
Yeah.
But when you're 14 and 6, that's a big fucking age difference. You're still. Oh, girl was in middle school.
Not at 14. She was in ninth grade.
No, she was in middle school.
Oh.
And which he was one? In high school, because I looked, and she never made it to high school.
Damn, you're trying to tell me she got killed?
Well, I mean.
God damn it. This is a true crime.
Oh, it was a domestic violence situation.
Man.
This is a true crime podcast. Welcome to life,
I don't know
Brandy.
What it is about, but when domestic violence happens and they die, yeah, it freaks me horrible. Out because it could horrible. Be anybody. Anybody could be in that situation and not even realize
and the
it.
Fact that she was only 14 years old just makes it that much worse.
She was 14?
She was 14 years old. They started dating when she was 12 and he was 14. And they were together for...
Where the fuck were her parents? I'm sorry. Somebody has to put the blame on somebody here. And I don't normally like doing that.
Maybe her parents didn't know.
No.
My parents didn't know that I was talking to a 20-year-old when I was 15.
Yeah, well, your parents wasn't as nosy as my motherfucking ass is going to be.
Girl, my mom was the nosiest motherfucking bitch that's ever lived.
I would have never. I'd have been stalking with cameras and everything. I mean,
she didn't stalk with cameras, but she was on my ass. And I was just constantly trying to keep a, you know,
enough
distance in between us to where I could still, like, get one over on her. But
did it work?
Sometimes, but not always. So, yeah, they began dating when she was 12 years old. And at the time when they started dating, Jamie was 14, and he was a very, like, scrawny, like, skinny, like, just not very...
Insecure men massive, put their hands on women and
massive
beat them.
Type of man. And he was described as, like, a happy-go-lucky, like, good kid, you know, until... until he started taking steroids.
Yep, he snapped and killed her. Son of a bitch.
So, in addition to the steroids, he was drinking a fifth of vodka every day at 16 years old, plus steroids.
Where was his parents?
Right. Well, his parents, God, don't get me fucking started on them.
Oh, he probably came from a bad...
His parents were both alcoholics.
Yeah, there we go. That's why he was drinking.
Yeah, so...
Either they learn what they see.
He started, once he started drinking and doing the steroids, he became a completely different person. He started being possessive, jealous, you know, like the textbook of what happens in situations like this.
Buying roses saying, oh, I'm not going to hit you again in your head. I'm not going to beat you with a baby walker in the hallway.
Don't tell me that happened to you.
Yeah, it did.
Stop.
It's not funny, yeah, but... I just remember.
It's not, but the way you said it, I'm not going to beat you in the hallway with a baby walker.
So I just remember one time. I just remember the moment I realized I was in an abusive relationship, and I had got my ass beat prior, before. Yeah. But the moment it dawned on me, I was in the shower, okay?
Yeah.
And, or no. He had said something to me, and I had knowingly, like, we went out to the living room, and our friends were there. And I said something that offended his friend, and his friend got up and left. Mm-hmm. My partner at the time, and I won't say who it was so enraged that I did that. I mean, I was 16 years old, 17 years old. I had just 18 because I just had Sean. That kind of tells who it is. But anyway, he was really pissed that I said something offensive to make them leave, and I was just being me. Of course, right. And then out of nowhere, he picked up this bottle and this whiskey bottle and smacked me right across the fucking head with it.
Did it break? And
no, bitch. He just kept doing it and it still didn't break. That
oh
shit
my
hurt.
God. I was going to say, I feel like it would worse if it didn't break.
It didn't break.
If it did break.
And
it wouldn't
hurt left
as
a lot
bad.
Of knots on my head. I remember going to take a shower and crying in the shower thinking, did I really just get beat up with a whiskey bottle?
Oh my God.
And like my head was knotted up and I remember thinking, oh my God, did I just really get beat with a whiskey bottle? Because I'm aggressive. I can fight. So I would whoop this motherfucker sometimes. But at the time, I wasn't hitting him. I wasn't doing nothing. I was minding my business, and he just abused me out of nowhere. And then after that time, it never stopped. I remember because I didn't want to go to the hospital, that's when he picked up that baby walker and fucked my ass up in the hallway. And I used to have one of those little grates when you in the duplexes. You know, you walk across that little metal thing that used to...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in your hallway, there'd be like this metal grate thing. Yeah. And I literally had my face imprinted on it because he was hitting me with that damn thing. And finally, I just called the ambulance. Have him come get me. I didn't realize why he was so mad that I wouldn't call the ambulance. It was like he cared, and then he would say
he beat you up, and then he was pissed that
he
didn't
me.
Call,
he
you
beat
didn't
me.
Call the ambulance.
He beat me up because I didn't call the ambulance and go to the hospital because my back was hurting. So he beats me, and then says the reason why he beat me was because I didn't listen to him when I should have went to the hospital. And that's not even the... We'll get into more stories later on in life, but we'll finish with this. But I'm telling you,
you're going to want to kill that guy.
They find a way to manipulate you. Oh, girl, I've had the worst life you could possibly have.
No,
how
no,
I'm
I've
still
heard,
smiling.
I've heard a lot of stories.
And that's not even the tip of the iceberg. How I'm still alive and smiling this day
you
is beyond
me. You
used
to tell me shit when I was drunk at Felicia's
all
the time. And you were like, I'm an open book. I'll tell anybody anything. And I was like, I like her.
Yeah, I really would. A lot of people get on me like, well, how are you so vulnerable with people? Like, bitch, do you know that I tell everybody this shit? I'm not being vulnerable. This is not me vulnerable. Like,
right. You'll
very rarely see me vulnerable. And if you do get to see that side of me, I'm in love with you. But you're not going to see me actual fucking my life being vulnerable, because you got to be an open book about that shit. You can't keep that shit all cooped up.
That's what.
How funny is it that I got beat with a child's walker? It's hilarious. I'm sorry. Maybe not to somebody else, but to me, that's how I handle with my grief, and I laugh at it. I know a lot of people wouldn't laugh at it, but me, I have to laugh to live.
Right.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Back to Fred Savage being a fucking dick.
Fred Savage being a savage.
Yeah, basically beating up old girl.
I was always a bigger fan of Ben Savage.
Yeah, me too.
I was a Boy Meets World whore.
Right.
I still am. So yeah, he was very abusive. He would, you know, possessive, jealous, didn't like her doing anything, you know. And then he was drinking so much on top of the steroids, he started fucking raging out. And so after she breaks up with him, she starts to date other guys.
Oh, yeah.
And he finds out about this, of course, and doesn't like it. And so he starts talking to his friends about how he wants to kill Amy.
What?
These names get so confused. Amy and Jamie.
Amy and Jamie. Just like Brandy and Brandon. Oh, my God. Let's skip one.
So one day Jamie asks Amy if she wants to hang out as friends.
See?
Quote,
this reminds me
friends.
Of fucking, what's that dude, Melvin Ignato?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't ever hang out.
Yeah, don't be friends with your ex, ladies. Never ends well. So he asked her to hang out, and they go to, like, this park, and it's him and, like, four other friends of theirs. Like, these were guys that, like, she had been, like, friends with, because they were Jamie's friends. And they right. were all, like, she was comfortable around these people. So, they're, like, walking through the woods. And Jamie had been drinking, like, really heavily that day, because he drinks heavily every day, obviously. Right. So, he said that he wanted to talk to Amy alone, away from everybody else.
Fuck that. That's
so he pulls her to the side.
She's vaping, y'all.
I'm vaping. I'm sorry. I need my nicotine to get through this. So
is it bad?
It's kind of bad. He grabs her and he tells her that he loves her. And then he stabs her in the stomach. Okay. And he's behind her. She's in front of him. He's stabbing her like this.
So she don't even see it coming at first.
He stabs her so deep to where the knife literally went through her back and poked him in the chest.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And the entire time, it was like a hunting knife. So it was like this big, crazy knife.
Oh, my God.
And the entire time that he was, like, stabbing her, she was crying and telling him how much she loved him.
Mm-mm.
So, as she's telling him that he loves him, this pisses him off. And she's also, like, gargling on, like, her own blood type shit. And this pisses him off, so he throws her to the ground, and he stomps on her head and stomps on her throat.
What the fuck?
And there's no more wine in that cup.
God damn. What the fuck?
Yeah. And so no one really knows if any of the guys that he was there with that day knew what was going to happen. Because he didn't necessarily use any of them.
Did he leave right after? Or?
Yeah, they all left.
And he didn't, nobody knew that she was killed?
No, he told the guys what had happened, like, later on, that he had killed her. And so then the next day, he gets one of his friends to come back to the pond with him to dispose of the body. Because the body's still...
Oh, my God.
Well, it happened, like, near a pond.
Yeah.
So they were trying to move her body to the pond to dispose of it. So they wrapped her up in, like, a tarp, and they had to, like, throw her body over this fence to, like, get into wherever this pond was. And so he, like, I don't know what he used exactly, but he sank her body in the pond. And, so then Jamie told his friend that if he ever told anybody what happened, that he would do the same thing to him that he did to Amy. And so the friend, thankfully, not too long after that, decides to rat on him.
Yeah.
And lead the police to where her body is, because, you know, she's missing, her family's missing her and shit, and they don't know where she's at. So that he leads them to it. So after they figure out that it's him, like, he basically says, "Yes, I killed her." Like, he doesn't try to lie about it or anything. He even did an interview on a local news station where, and I couldn't find the interview. I tried to find it and I couldn't find it. But he had, like, done this interview with this news station, and he was, like, on national television talking about how sorry he was that he killed her.
He's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I hope he died.
No.
He's still alive.
He was tried as an adult. As an adult.
Thank God. And
he was sentenced to life without parole. So, this was in, like, 19... Like, so the murder happened in 91, so this is probably, like, 91, 92. So, in 1993, his mom, who was, like I said previously, an alcoholic, her and her boyfriend were arrested for, like, conspiring to break Jamie out of prison.
Oh, my God.
And their whole plan was that he was going to cut himself in, like a quote, suicide attempt, so that he would be transported to a hospital where his mom and her boyfriend would be waiting, and they were going to overpower the guards with guns and try to, like, break him out. But he told his cellmate about it, and his cellmate went to the guards and told him about the plan. So the plan was, like, intercepted before it was able to happen. So it never happened, but he got 10 years added onto his sentence for attempting to do that. And then his mom and her boyfriend got 6 to 9 years in prison. I don't know how much time they served. They probably didn't serve that much time.
Right.
So in 2012, the Supreme Court ruled that the juvenile offenders that were sentenced to life without possibility of parole
get a new trial,
unconstitutional.
And they need a new
trial. In 2019, no, not new trials. They were given the opportunity of having of getting a parole hearing. Yeah. So in 2019, he got the opportunity for parole, and he would have gotten out had he not had that failed escape plan.
Yeah.
And so apparently he's up for parole in, like, another 2 or 3 years. And
hopefully her parents go and tell him, let him know, and, like, he's a psychopath.
But hopefully that escape plan keeps him behind bars.
But he because was, to be fair,
very possible that
he's a raggedy
that
bastard.
That he could have gotten out, though, but had he not had that.
To be fair, he was a child, basically 16. He was on drugs, and he was on steroids.
Yeah, I get
which,
that.
You've got to put that. I know that sounds fucking shitty, but I'm going to think about it in the long haul. Things change from 16 to now. I couldn't imagine me at 16. The thought process I had.
I've done a lot of drugs in my life, okay?
And
I
don't. But you didn't think about murder.
Any drugs would have ever made me stomp on somebody's face.
Yeah.
Or head.
He literally murdered her three times, technically,
if you think about it. As deep as I could stab them. Right. You know? Yeah. And it's those details that I have to reflect back on when I think, oh, can he be rehabilitated and released into society?
Like, he literally...
Fuck no. Fuck that guy.
Right.
You gave your entire life of freedom up when you decided to fucking stab her and stomp on her head.
Right.
A 14-year-old fucking kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, fuck that guy. That guy can fucking rot in prison. I don't give a shit if he ever fucking gets another goddamn parole hearing.
Yeah, I don't either. Fucking...
Yeah. And I actually didn't know that was a true story until yesterday, actually.
Damn, really?
Yeah, because I was looking up other Lifetime movies, and I was like, oh, I used to love, it was called No One Would Tell. Yeah. And there was this song at the end of it, and it was like, and no one would tell. And
I love when they do them cheesy fucking,
yeah.
I love when they do that.
Yeah, so there's a podcast that does a deeper dive on this, and it's called Boston Confidential.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but I really like it. It's this guy, he's got, like, a really thick Boston accent, and he's a private investigator.
I like that.
And he has this podcast. And So yeah, that's if you want a deep dive on that one, Boston Confidential. The other ones, I don't know about the Michelle Avila one. I didn't look into that one, but I do know that here at Easy Killer, we are the first fucking true crime podcast to report on the murder of Tammy Petrin by Richard Ronald Harnois.
Hell yeah, we are first.
Because I Googled it. Because I was like, I'm going to see if anybody else has ever done this case. And they haven't.
Oh, yeah. We're number one.
We're number one, bitches. Yeah, remember it. Okay. So this was our 90s Lifetime movie.
Episode.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to call it.
Yeah. So I hope you all enjoyed it.
I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope that you guys go to Apple Podcasts and rate us. 5 stars, please. Don't put no negative ones because you're a bitch if you do.
Don't do a 4-star review or I'll kill
also
you.
Also, follow us on Spotify and fucking iHeartRadio and everywhere you listen to a podcast. That'd be great. Check us out on Facebook at Easy Killer Podcast. And also on Instagram, you can find us, Easy Killer Podcast. And you can also find us on YouTube, Easy Killer Podcast, and TikTok. So, yeah.
And we have merch.
And we have that merchandise. You can find
via the link in our bio on our Instagram.
Also, if you're on YouTube, you can go and we have a link to our bio there, too.
Oh, yeah, we do.
And everything's linked to the YouTube bio if you need to get a hold of us, you need to see us. Also, easykillerpodcast@gmail.com if you want us to do a certain episode or if you have a story of your own that you want us to cover. We don't mind looking into things. Just let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we hope you keep it easy.
Killer.
Yeah. Easy killer. Bye.
Bye.